With me today are Derek Leonard and Dan Hassett of American Business Consulting. Gentlemen, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having us, Bart.
Thank you.
So before we jump into it, and it's a good topic, and I think a lot of people want to hear about it, tell me a bit about what American Business Consulting does.
Well, American Business Consulting is a provider of business services to dentists, dental specialists, and other healthcare professionals. And really, our company specializes in helping doctors achieve ownership and then maintaining that ownership after their practices are open. We've helped a variety of clients from coast to coast move from associates to ownership, and we look forward to helping many more.
That sounds good. Sounds good. Derek, anything to add to that?
No, Dan hit the nail on the head. Basically, we're a business development group, like you said, helping doctors from coast to coast. Not only new doctors that are moving from associateship into ownership or straight out of school into ownership, but we often help guys that have existing practices to grow and expand to either multiple locations or larger or more financially successful practices.
Okay. And speaking of multiple locations and new locations, we're going to be talking about developing your own location, whether you do 1, 2, 5. You know, I think a lot of these rules will apply to you. So, let's get into it. And let's start out by asking you, what do you think is the number one concept that everyone building a new office should understand?
Successful business plan. I'm not talking about going to Office Depot and buying something off the shelf and putting your name on it. I mean an actual business plan that's going to work for you based on experience and
not only based on experience, but based on our particular industry. Dentistry is a lot different from cranking out widgets in a factory, and your business plan has to reflect that.
Absolutely.
I got you.
Everyone building a new office should understand that the real work comes after the doors are open. You know, opening the office is half the battle, and the first 6 months require a lot of effort from the doctor.
The entire team, especially the doctor.
So break down this business plan concept for me a bit. What do we need to have in there? Are we telling a story? Is it just projections? What's going into this business plan?
Well, unfortunately, all too often, we've heard these cliches, if you build it, they will come. And the guys that we work with, let's face it, they've been in school every bit of 30 years, and their hopes and dreams and everything that they've worked so hard for have to do with the success or not success of the practice that they're going to build. And like I said, all too often they fall victim to some cliches. But your business plan starts with the demographics. Where do you want to practice? And a lot of guys want to back out of their driveway, and as they're backing out of their driveway, they're actually pulling into the parking space at their place of business. So that makes it convenient for them, but is it convenient for the patient? Is it convenient for the staff? Mm-hmm. So the business plan, I think, starts with location, location, location. And once you figure out what part of town you want to be in, you want to run a full set of demographics that's going to tell you whether or not that practice location is sufficient for what you're trying to accomplish. And if you will allow me one quick minute, Bart, I'd like to share. Oftentimes we get a lot of questions, and one of the questions that we get from the doctors is, what's the one thing to look for when it comes to demographics? My answer is always, it's not one thing. Instead of getting an A in one class and an F in another, you always want to go with a B in every class. So if you can get, obviously population has a lot to do with it, but you want to touch on growth. Growth is very important. You never want to go into an area that's on a decline, no matter how small it is. But diversity becomes an important part, whether or not they can afford your services, so household income, diversity, growth, population, age group. You never want to set up an orthodontic practice in a senior citizen community. So you have to look, and all of those are very important. All of them play a very important role. So you want to get at least a B in each one of those categories. And I think that's the first place to start as far as your location. What do you think number two is, Dan?
Number two would have to be a tie between your financial projections and your marketing plan.
Yeah.
Projections okay. have to be realistic, not only to get bank approval, but so you know for yourself what your estimated performance for the practice is and budget your working capital accordingly. Also, marketing is not to be underestimated. Derek mentioned if you build it, they will not necessarily come. So
it's more
having a marketing plan that is reasonable and realistic and has metrics for measuring success is definitely an essential part of the plan.
Yeah, and I'd say something that's reasonably proven too, as far as a marketing plan. You know, you're not just throwing, you know, something up against the wall and see if it sticks with Super Bowl ads and
right. Yeah, that's another misconception that if you spend money on marketing that it's going to be effective. You have to your marketing plan has to be well thought out just like your business plan. And just because you put your name on the outside of a window does not mean that everybody's going to come to you.
Gotcha. Couldn't agree more. So with that, so we the biggest thing being our business plan, what's the biggest mistake you see when people go through this new office process?
Ooh, working capital. I don't know if there's a definition out there or if Webster has a dictionary, if Webster's dictionary can explain or Wikipedia or whomever can tell us what working capital is, but all too often the doctors misunderstand what the words working capital and what that dollar amount is. If you will allow us a minute, we can give you some examples. I've had doctors to buy boats with that working capital money, vehicles, and just outright spend it on things that have nothing to do with their practice because the loan officer told them that that was their working capital. So they gave them this large check of working capital money, and they went and spent it on things outside of their practice.
Man, I want the dictionary they're reading from.
What was that, Bart?
I said, I want the dictionary they're reading from because my definition of working capital is the funds to run the day-to-day operations of the practice. None of those seem to fit that description.
Yeah, well, sometimes we get a little selfish. We're not used to getting a check for $500,000 at one time, so we think that that's ours to do what we want to with it, but that is the biggest underestimation, I think, when it comes to building your practice from the ground up, misappropriation of working capital.
I got you. Okay. So we know our biggest factor, we know our biggest mistake. You know, give me a broad overview of what kind of investment is it going to take to get an office up and running with a good location now, not something, you know, along the lines of what you had discussed a little while ago with the negative factors, but in turn, What's the investment in terms of time and dollars?
You mentioned time. Another misunderstanding is the amount of time that it's going to take. We like to consider ourselves experts, and it's going to take us anywhere from 6 to 9 months to get these projects from signing for the loan to grand opening. So if it takes me, who considers himself an expert, 6 to 9 months, how long is it going to take some guy without our benefit? I was just talking with a doctor earlier today that was in my office, and he built an office without us. He's a friend of mine, and he came to me for some advice, so I gave it to him as a friend. But he was building an office in 2009, and he actually reminded me that he tried to build his office and open it in 2009. He actually opened it in 2012 in January. If you go through a company like ours, we like to tell you that it's going to take you every bit of 6 to 9 months from start to finish. And we'd like to see somewhere between $500,000 and $600,000 per project. Can we get it done for less? Yes, we can. Have we gotten it done in less time? One of the more recent projects that we've done in the Houston metropolitan area, it literally took us about 4 months from start to finish, from the time the doctor signed on to have the office built to the time that he actually started seeing patients took us 4 months. But that's not what we want to put out there. That was an unusual situation. We were able to get that project done in about 4 months, but it takes us about 6 to 9 months. We'd like to see somewhere between $500,000 and $600,000. it does depend on the doctor and what they're trying to accomplish, and it does depend on whether or not they're a general or a specialist.
Mm-hmm.
If you are a specialist, we tend to need more money. It takes a little bit longer to get those projects off the ground, so you need a little bit more working capital. You need more time to pay rent or pay for expenses while the office is not yet profitable enough to support the expenses that you have.
I got you. So let me take the 6 to 9 month time frame. Can you kind of break it up into chunks as far as what takes what amount of time?
Very good questions, Bart. A lot of what goes on, we have control over. Unfortunately, there's a lot of things that we don't have control over. And the first thing that comes to my mind is the actual lease. The lease, we really don't have 100% control over how long it takes us to actually get to a point where we sign the lease. And we never recommend signing a lease until the loan has been authorized, or even getting started on your project until the lease has been authorized. Mm-hmm. So the lease, well, the loan process can take every bit of 30 to 45 days, and that's nothing more than a closing, like a closing on a home. Once you've been approved for the funding of a home, until you find an actual house that you want to purchase and submit that to the lender and they do all the legwork, and like I said, that's going to take you every bit of 30 to 45 days. It's not that different in our line of work. Once we've been approved for the loan and we've got to get them all kinds of information, we've got to get the demographics over to them, the projections, the business plan. It takes us about 30, maybe 45 days to actually close on the loan itself. And once we close on the loan, then we can, and we used to do it simultaneously, but we can start looking for space. The loan isn't actually closed until they have a lease. Mm-hmm. Because again, it's just like buying a home where the bank will tell you, okay, we'll purchase this home for you, or we'll loan you the money to purchase this home, but you have to have a home to purchase.
Right.
You have to have an actual mortgage. So the first month or two, or somewhere around the middle of that month, would go towards loan processing. And then once the loan has been processed, generally, it can take a good another month and a half to close on the lease. And the reason I say the lease is out of our hands is because usually the landlord or the leasing agent will have his or her attorneys to draft up that contract for us, and then we'll work within the parameters of what they've presented to us based on what they've presented to us.
Gotcha.
Once you've got your lease in place, and again, simultaneously we tend to work, but once you've got your lease in place, then you can custom fit your floor plan to the space that you're going into. How many chairs you're going to have, where's your office, where's your front office, front desk going to be located, where's your doctor's office going to be, where are your x-ray units, are you going to do closed bay, open bay, semi-private, private, all those things need to be taken care of. And that's where a lot of your preliminary work is uncertain. In order to get a building permit from the county or parish, you have to have what's called a full set of plans, MEPs, mechanical, electrical, and plumbing, and you have to have those plans stamped by a licensed engineer locally. Before that engineer will stamp those plans, he needs to make sure that all of the ducks are in a row. And so we have to get him a set of plans that are already ready for his approval and ready to go for building permit. And it can get hung up a month at a time with the engineer, with the building permit department, with the architect making adjustments. The doctor may want to come along and make some changes. So that's a time frame that really gets a little hairy. But okay. after the building permit, believe it or not, it literally takes us about 6 to 8 weeks to construct an office. Most of our offices are somewhere between 2,000 and 2,500 square feet, and we can get those projects done within 2 month time frame as far as construction is concerned. It's a lot of the preliminary work that's uncertain for us.
I got you. So we're talking maybe, you know, 6 months, 6, 7, 8 months of essentially red tape and administrative things to get through, and then the actual nails get driven.
And that's another misconception that the doctors have. They'll get some contractor that they know that tells them, well, hey, I can get your office built in 3 months. But he's just talking about construction. He's not talking about the preliminary and the red tape that you got to get through to get to the point where you can actually start construction.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay. Well, you know, you kind of started us off walking through the process. So let's take a more detailed walk through it. And we're going to go right back to the beginning here. We're going to go to financing. And I would guess that'd be the first step in the process is can the practice office get financed? You talked about an investment of around $500,000, $600,000. What is financing like these days? What's the environment like? Obviously, 2008, 2009, things were just terrible. And where do we stand now in 2013?
Sure, Bart. Well, luckily for candidates, the financing situation is actually favorable for those with fair to good credit scores. A lot of these doctors may not be aware of is that a lot of the banks are taking their student loans into consideration. Those are almost taken for granted. Doctors are expected to have heavy student debt. So as long as the candidates have stayed out of trouble with their consumer credit, I know
foreclosures,
maxed out credit cards, late payments, etc., they should be in good shape.
That's a good point that Dan brings up. There's a lot of guys out there who think that they're in a position to walk into a bank or walk over to the community bank and just get a loan. A lot of those guys are not actually in a position to get a loan, while the guys that think they're not in a position are actually in a position.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it used to be that way.
If they have fair credit, the lenders, especially the lenders that we work with, they've come to expect and understand a certain amount of debt, student loan debt, as well as, you know, you've been in school for 30 years. Most of these guys, in order to what they've accomplished, weren't able to work. So they have had to survive on little to nothing as far as money coming. So they've missed a few credit card payments here or there, but they've got a really good track of being able to get these guys the loans.
And those come from a variety of sources, large commercial lenders, private lenders, capital sources, whatever it takes, we can usually find the capital to make the project happen.
I got you. So you know, let's say a doctor's gotten out of school, he's partied it up, you know, went took a post-graduation trip across Europe, had a bunch of fun in the clubs, ran up some big credit card charges, and his credit rating is just terrible right now. What can he do to improve his situation?
Personally, or she, is show strong personal cash flow. They have income throughout the project, even when the practice opens.
And you mentioned 2013, Bart. There's been an emergence of credit repair places that have come about recently. Well, credit repair place and actually utilize that service to help them repair their credit and get them back to where they need to be in order to qualify for those loans.
I got you. Okay. So we have financing. Let me ask you this question as well. Are there any particular banks or financing operations that are more conducive for doctors, or is it kind of on a case by case basis? You got to shop around depending on what market you're in.
A list of preferred lenders that we go through, Bart, and those preferred lenders actually have we've gotten to a point where we use a broker whenever we've got a doctor that we really want to work with, that we've got a great business plan for, and for whatever reason traditional lending just doesn't work for them, we've got alternatives that we have.
We do have a list of preferred lenders, both large commercial and private capital sources.
Mm-hmm.
And we are happy to assist doctors in getting the best financing package possible. We'll go ahead and get their application together and then shop it around to see who will give them the best deal.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, the lenders show favor to the doctors who actually look into partner up with the business expertise and resources that we have.
Oh, really?
Versus the other way around.
Okay. Okay. Well, that's good. That's certainly a positive if you're American Business Consulting and a doctor who's looking to build a new office. So we got financing. Great. In place. Checks coming. Now we got to find us an office location. Derek, you talked at the top a lot about office location. I have a note here where I asked about traffic, and it says that the overall count is generally overrated. Dan, could you talk a little more about that? Why is the traffic level overrated?
There used to be an Exxon gas station on that corner.
Right.
Where Data Drive turns into Power.
Right.
And where they still Veterans go. Continues, I guess that would be, I don't know if that's east or west, where you're going basically from Data Drive towards Williams Boulevard.
Yeah.
And you would think because of the traffic count that that's actually a great location for a gas station. But that area was so heavily populated that it was difficult getting in and out of that gas station.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not the only one. That happens a lot. And that's what I meant when I said that traffic count isn't always a good indication of whether or not that's going to be a great place for you to be.
Okay.
And again, I don't know how to explain that verbally.
But that works for me. You know, okay. Again, I think it's not just cars driving by, but it has there's that aspect of convenience. I mean, I guess you could build an office right on the side of I-10.
Right, exactly. Where your traffic count, there's millions of people that drive by there every day, but nobody's going to stop in and get their teeth cleaned.
Right, right. And that would be...
Or drop their child off to get braces tightened up every month.
Yeah, that would be dangerous. Absolutely. Okay, so now we got financing. We got our office. Now it's time for us to get that lease done. When you're looking at the lease that the landlord proposes to you, what should you be looking for? What are the most important things to focus on?
Well, I know for starters, that 6 to 9 month period that it's going to take us to build that office or get you from signing on the loan to actually grand opening, it's going to take 6 to 9 months. You certainly don't want to be paying rent that entire time, because that money will come out of your pocket and not out of your, after a while, even your working capital money will run out if you have to pay rent for 9 months and not actually see any patients. So the very first thing that you want to do when you're considering your lease is to ask for what's called a rent abatement period, or free rent, basically.
Okay.
Now, 2 to 4 months is probably common, but it takes dental offices a lot longer than your typical Edward Jones or some of these other places that can just throw down some carpet and put up some partition walls. It's going to take us a lot longer to build our office than maybe an office like that. So we usually ask for and usually get somewhere between 4 and 6 months of rent abatement.
Okay.
And at roughly $5,000 a month, 6 months worth of free rent is about $30,000. So again, that's 30 grand that you're not going to have to come out of pocket, or you're not going to have to borrow, or you're not going to have to pull from your working capital funds.
So now I can take that working capital and put it on my boat.
Is this what? No, you're on your marketing bar.
Marketing, that's right. Okay. Thanks for keeping me on track.
Okay. Derek touched on some good points, and I'd add, in addition to the rent abatement, you'll want to make sure that your lease specifically gives you exclusivity. That is, 1 year from now, another dentist can't come in the same plaza or development, and now you have competition next door.
Mm-hmm.
Now, competition is going to happen one way or another, but at least you can keep it from popping up exactly next door to you.
From right next door to you. Yep. Okay. Anything else?
Yeah. On a softer side, renewal options. Generally speaking, people come in, they do a 5-year lease, And at the end of the 5 years, they're sitting down figuring out, trying to figure out whether or not they want to do another lease. But if that's already been predetermined and all you have to do is exercise the option to extend the lease, that will be so much more beneficial to you. So if your initial lease term, again, is 5 years, at the end of the 5 years, your options are, let's go ahead and sign another lease, or let's leave and go set up someplace else. Well, depending on how well or not so well your practice has done, that's going to determine whether or not you want to stay or whether you want to go. But if you stay and you are doing well, what do you think your landlord's going to do to you? He's going to go up on your rent if it hasn't been predetermined, the amount. So you're not going to want to pay additional rent to be in the same place. And if you move, you got another $200,000 or $300,000 worth of construction that you have to do, even if you keep your old equipment and transfer it from one location to another. So you definitely want to do what's called a renewal option. So if you get a 5-year lease, always try to get a renewal option for another 2 to 3 years for another 2 to 3 terms.
2 to 3 years for another 2 to 3 terms.
Yeah, so we try to come in, get a 5-year lease and a additional 2 lease terms at 3 years each. So that would be the initial 5 years, and then we exercise the option to stay for another 3 years. So that'll be 8, and then we exercise that final option to be there another 3 years, and that would be a total of 11 years.
Okay.
After 11 years, you should have a solid practice or not.
I got you. So you have that flexibility now to stay or go or renegotiate as you see fit.
But renewal options are how the first lease term is up, and because those renewal options were negotiated previously, there's really not a lot the landlord can do as far as getting more money.
Even though the new landlord is actually a new land, even though the landlord's a new landlord, because that particular client that Dan is talking about, the property was sold during the term of the doctor's lease. So okay. The new guys want to come in and go up on the rent, but they can't because everything's been predetermined before they even came in.
I got you. Okay.
One other thing on a softer side, Bart, is there's something that's called common area maintenance. And as accountants or people with accounting backgrounds like yourself and me, we know what common area maintenance or CAM is, but not everyone does. One of the things that we found is that you definitely have to cap that CAM amount, because if not, some of these landlords will just continue to allow that common area maintenance charge or triple net charge to continue to increase to a point where we had a lease we were looking at that the common area was half the amount of the lease. So how would you like to sign a lease with someone and then find a way to charge them 50% more than what's already been agreed to?
Wow.
So if you can cap that dollar amount, the maximum amount they can charge you is the amount that's been listed in that agreement.
Okay. Well, let's roll on down the timeline, because that's good stuff. You know, these leases get huge, and there's a lot of aspects to it. But I think those points are certainly key. But we'll roll on down the line, and lease is now done, signed, financing's in place, location's good. Now we got to design the space. So when do we start working on our space design?
As soon as the ink is dry on the signature line of the lease and not before.
Okay.
You don't want to commit your project budget to the interior designer and the architect working on a space where the plan falls through for whatever reason, and then you've spent money having those guys on the clock.
Okay, so as soon as I see signatures, bing, I'm on the phone with my space planner.
Exactly, because you know for sure what the space is going to look like.
Okay, and now this would seem to get to be into the fun part of things. Now we can design, we can do colors and where we want to place things in the office. And it seems like you can really get yourself in trouble and out of hand with adding a lot of features and amenities to it. What do you need to do to keep yourself from going way, way over budget on these things?
Stick to that business plan. Because you are exactly right. This is where it starts to get exciting and competitive for the doctors. Mm-hmm. they start hearing about another guy that they were in class with that's building an office at the same time that they are, and they heard that he's got travertine floors and marble countertops and flat screen televisions in every operatory, and so that's what they want. But if it's not in the business plan and it's not in the budget, then you stick to the business plan, you stick to the budget, and we should be okay.
Okay. Okay.
Also, at this point, if you haven't secured the services of our company, Pro ABC, or another company or project manager, you should have one on board, because costs can now rapidly spiral out of control if you don't have a seasoned veteran running your project.
Gotcha.
Yeah, one of the things that we haven't had a chance to talk about is once you have signed a dotted line with a contractor to build a certain office and you start making changes, there's something that's called change orders. And change orders can cost you hundreds of thousands of dollars, depending on what that change order is. If you want to start moving walls, which we've had to do, and there are times when change orders make sense, but then there are times where change orders are just trying to please or appease someone who's got a personal interest in this, and it's not really beneficial to the doctor or to the staff or to the patients that are going to be coming in.
Mm-hmm. So getting to that now, when your space is designed, what's the best way to pick somebody to build out a space so that you don't get yourself into these jams and start stacking up change orders and running up cost and time?
Sure. Well, definitely you want someone with industry experience specific to dentistry or dental specialty. Typically, you find the companies through industry reputation, referrals, word of mouth. Definitely Pro ABC and other groups as well that have experience in the industry and know what it takes to launch your practice successfully and without running tremendously over budget or getting your project off to a bad start.
Okay. Construction guy, what are you doing to make sure that those people stay on budget and on schedule? What are you doing to stay on top of the contractors to make sure that they're getting things done on time and in an A-plus manner?
Sure. Well, whether with our company or another industry leader, you have to have a project manager to manage the contractor and other aspects of the project. Otherwise, the client is just stressed out trying to continue practice dentistry and oversee their project.
Pay the money. Pay the guy. Project manager. A good project manager is going to have an on-site superintendent, or he may be the on-site superintendent himself. And trust me, it's worth the money. Because that guy is going to be there making certain that everything is going the way that it's supposed to. And the minute that it doesn't, he gets to correct it and call you and let you know what that correction is versus you waiting until you have a chance to stop by the office. 3 weeks later, you notice that somebody put down the flooring that wasn't supposed to be there, and that flooring is hideous and you don't like it, you don't want it. So now you've got to go back, retract, pay additional money, get that flooring out there, get some new flooring in. So again, it's not as much the cost of getting the flooring out and getting the new one in, but the timing of it. If you're able to solve that problem right away versus 3 weeks later, you can stay on course as far as your timeline is concerned.
Okay. A few minutes ago, you had talked about equipment. And obviously, I would guess that there are a lot of options when you want to buy equipment. If I wanted to ask, say, for like a bronze, silver, and gold option when it comes to buying equipment, how would you break that down for me?
We have worked with several equipment companies from, like you said, bronze, silver, gold, platinum. There is a push to cut cost, and in that push to cut cost, oftentimes you have people who look for ways to cut costs, and one way to cut cost is used equipment, refurbished equipment. If you're going to go that route, just do your homework and realize that the money that you're saving today may be an expense tomorrow. Check for warranties and check the reputation of those companies, because not everyone's going to provide a warranty and not everyone's going to provide ideal equipment, and what's going to happen when that equipment does not work? You know, what are the goals? What are the plans? Because when you open an office from the ground up and you're doing everything you can, you're spending every dime you have to market that place and get people in there, and then you get them in the door and you tell them that you need to take an x-ray before you can do anyway, and the x-ray machine's not working. What timeline is that refurbished equipment company going to give you to get that equipment replaced? And are you going to be able to hold them to that timeline? So that's probably your bronze package. Your silver is probably your middle of the road where you need to be. I mean, we get these doctors that, you know, you want to show off a little bit. You've been in school 30 years. Everybody knows you're a doctor. Everybody refers to you as a doctor. Your kids are in private schools. You live in a gated community. You drive luxury Mercedes-Benz or BMW, and you want your office to reflect your success. So we get these guys that say, hey, not only do I want leather furniture as far as the chairs for the operatories, but there's something that's called ultra leather. I don't really suggest the ultra leather. That's your gold or platinum package. Your silver middle of the road is probably what you need to. Just go after your most reputable equipment companies. Negotiate the best price that you can. Make certain that, again, you have those warranties in place that are going to take care of you in a time of need, because as a new office, you don't want the reputation that I made an appointment with that new dental office down the street, and I went in there and they couldn't even take my x-rays, or it took them 5 or 10 attempts to take my x-rays.
Yeah, that would seem to be a disappointing outcome.
I mean, do you have anything you want to add?
Right, I would say my advice to the doctors starting out with their projects is just shoot for the silver package, as Derek said. Get solid, new equipment that's not as expensive as gold or platinum, but still gets the job done and is under warranty. Not going to be an issue for you as you're building your practice, working on patients. Basically, with equipment, it's true that you do get what you pay for,
yeah.
And so plan accordingly.
Gotcha. So it's kind of like that Fram oil filter commercial. You can pay me now or pay me later, but at some point you got to pay.
Right.
Okay. Makes sense to me. So I know you guys deal with a lot of folks coming right out of school that want to come out, start their own practice up. They see the strip center that was built yesterday, right in the middle of the toniest section of town. They rent something like $45 a square foot. Build out's going to cost $600,000-$700,000 to do because it's just that nice and that expensive. When they come to you with that location, what are you telling them?
Well, these are educated clients, so I go ahead and plug those numbers into our projection spreadsheet and show them how deep underwater they'd get in a hurry if they went forward with that project, and try and convince them to choose a different path.
Even if it's next to a Saks?
Especially if it's next to a Saks.
Gotcha.
I tell them to take their loan funds, build the office in a reasonable space suitable for their budget, and let the patients pay for interior and equipment upgrades.
And we usually try to get these projects done with zero or little money out of pocket for the doctor. For the client that has the money, or a relative that's going to loan or give them the money to add to the project, that's great. But if you're just borrowing more money to make your office a little bit nicer looking than the next guy, I don't know that that's necessary. I say build the office with the money that's being provided by the lender. Build up your patient base. Let the patients put the flat screens and the marble countertops in your practice.
Gotcha. Very good advice. Sage advice indeed. So now we've taken everybody through the process. And as you look back on it from A to Z, what part of the process do people not pay enough attention to?
Capital, marketing, and lease negotiations.
Gotcha. And what do they spend too much time on?
They're probably interchangeable.
Well, okay.
And what do you think is so important?
Oh God, yeah. Yeah, you know, it's a, if you get patients in the door, everything else becomes so much easier as a practice.
Yeah, and let me just share this one quick sin. Oftentimes we hear, well, what do I need to spend money on marketing for? Word of mouth is the best form of advertising. And they are 100% right when they say word of mouth is the best form of advertising. There's no dispute there. However, you have to put the word in somebody's mouth.
We'd also like to hit the other side of the coin. What part of the process do people pay too much attention to? Hands down, that would be focusing on deluxe interior design furnishings, trying to impress their family, friends, and colleagues, and they should be more focused on getting the practice off to a solid start financially.
So if I were to sum up, there's a lot too little time on the unfun stuff and too much time on the fun stuff.
That is exactly right in summarization.
I got you. So thank God guys like you are here to handle the unfun stuff.
That's why we're here.
Okay. That's good to know. Well,
literally,
fellas.
No, that's what we do, man. We take the headaches away from these guys, and we take them ourselves. Well, they have some headaches themselves in the work that they do, but so do we, and we try to take as many of those headaches away from them as we possibly can, which allows them more time to take on more of the fun headaches that they have.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Well, fellas, look, I appreciate your time today. This has been great, very, very informative, great information. If folks want to get in touch with you to talk more about any of these topics, where should they go?
www.proabc.com. That's P-R-O like professional pro and an A-B-C like the alphabet. Proabc.com. We offer free consultations, courtesy consultations. We'd love to sit down and talk with anybody about any project that they have going forward. This is the fun stuff for us. What most people don't enjoy, we actually enjoy. So look forward to potentially working with anyone across the United States. We have worked, like Dan said earlier, from Washington State to Washington, D.C., and we're always looking to go into a new place or extend in an area that we've already been in.
Great, great. Again, Derek Leonard, Dan Hassett, thank you so much for being on today, and we hope to talk to you again soon.
Thank you, Bart.
Thanks, Bart.